Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and this is a call-in show. I really want your calls to come in. We're going to discuss the feminine, the divine feminine. Is femininity really on the rise? What does femininity mean to you? And we know that males and females have their feminine side. And if the feminine, if the world is going to hell in a handbasket, meaning if all the systems are coming undone and coming apart and you don't know who to trust, and the patriarchy is in some ways in tatters, in other ways is in a fierce, bold run for spoils, rush for spoils. And the patriarchy doesn't refer just to men. It refers to that drive in us, even women, to get to the finish line, to nudge apart other people that might be actually competing and so on. There's a lot of competition inherent in the patriarchy. There's a lot about taking charge and dominating and all of that. I know a lot of you guys know this and a lot of women know this. But what we heard was this is the time of the shift. So now, as we watch, whether it's the economic world or the political world or the Middle Eastern countries, all over the place, there are systems that are kind of falling apart. Nobody knows who to trust. It's a dog-eat-dog world. There's mass murdering going on. There's wars, but the wars are being funded in strange places. And I'm not going to try to enumerate that sort of thing because I'm one of these spiritual or metaphysical people who does not study politics or the news too much, just enough to get kind of a sense of the turmoil that's going on. And I do know this, that there's a lot of mistrust out there. Whether you believe that Obama is the Antichrist or whether you believe that that was built up, a spin marketed thing by certain factions, whatever you believe, a lot of it is just like marketing. Who knows what's really true? Because what we see on the surface is certainly not where the power base is. And a lot of us in metaphysics really, really work hard on the fact that if I don't like what's going on in the world, I need to change something in myself. So we're kind of getting into this, I would say, kind of a chaotic period where we're trying to go inside, move our own energy, pull up a lot of the old belief structures that we've had in there in order to create the reality of our option of our choice. And so going back to the male and the female, I'm going to swing into talking about the feminine tonight, mostly because a number of women that I work with a lot of people around the different countries, have been saying to me, we really should be working on, these are women saying this a lot of times, but men too, okay? We should be working on, for example, competition among women for the attention of males, or what are the beliefs and the principles in our feminine subconscious or in the collective subconscious or the, you know, like the archetypes through the centuries? What have we managed to accrue or gather through the centuries by being women in the patriarchy? It's really an interesting question because when I think about it, it gets more and more intricate and more complex. A lot of us know that, for example, back in the 60s when women started to, one of the phases where women started to race out the door and get jobs and start to move up corporate ladders and everything, the mistrust of the feminine was horrendous, and many women, in order to become successful, became better at the male game than the men. And being bitchy or dominant in a whole bunch of, like, really questionable ways in order to, not all women, but it can be very, very scary when a woman climbs up the ladder using the male style and also having innately within her or having collected through the centuries the ability to be you know, that feminine kind of wild, that kind of intuitive, manipulative thing that we all have sometimes. Most of the women I know will talk about it because most of us want to lift ourselves out of these decrees that come from past experience. You know, you don't want the tyranny of the past reactive force that's in us all. So here we're saying the power of the feminine is rising, and the divinity and the feminine, the divine feminine, is going to start dancing more with the divine masculine, if you will, or people are going to rise into being much more whole. Instead of us living in a patriarchal existence, we're going to live in one that's a lot more balanced. So I'm saying, okay, here we are in the shift. What does that mean to us? Is it actually happening on the planet? My experience right now, when I look around and I get those thumbnail sketches from the news that I really don't always like to pay attention to, is a lot of women, for example, are single moms. A lot of women. And they're getting jobs that pay very poorly and have no benefits. And women and children have, once again, are relegated to kind of a ghetto. They've chased down a lot of the dads that used to disappear. So there's a little bit more financial support for some women because the men are having to pay up and really help look after their families, even though they're all split. See what I'm saying? There's some stuff going on that I go, well, that's not exactly the divine feminine rising up and empowering women and children in a way that we haven't had for thousands of years. So that I don't really know how you see what's going on. I have a number of clients, as I said, who have asked me to talk about this because in their workplaces, a lot of them are in their like late 30s, early 40s, or right up into the 50s and 60s. A lot of them say in the workplace, it's really scary when women go after each other. I gather when, it's the old thing of shortages, the shortage of jobs, okay? Shortage of money, shortage of men, any of those things, and women bring out those daggers that are hidden deeply within our womb area, I guess, I don't know, and they start to really undo one another, and they compete at a very, we compete at a very insidious kind of undercurrent level. Most of the guys I know will talk about that as well. So they're saying, well, how can we bring this stuff up in ourselves and really get it going so that we don't have to live like that anymore? Because we also want that wholeness that comes from the male clearing and the female clearing, and each of them stepping forward in kind of a, well, let's look at it as a team. You don't always have to be in a one-on-one relationship to be part of a team that has both male and female, do you? And, it's a, you know, we've got Hillary Clinton out there being Secretary of State. We've got all kinds of women being in strong positions these days. But I want you and I to look at how we ourselves experience the feminine. You guys as well. And I want you to call in about that kind of thing. I'd really love to have your calls. Tell me what's going on in your life, what you would like to have happen. Let's take a look at where you're blocking your own bounty or your own joie de vivre. Let's start off with a meditation, which I like all of us to do together, because one of the things the feminine is good for, many, many things, but we are, have that mothering instinct is a great community instinct, isn't it? So we're very good at developing community consciousness, of looking after each other, of pitching in, of helping with children, of expanding. And tribes have had an obvious thing where sometimes the kids aren't really even sure who their actual parent is because, as they've said for years, it takes a village to raise a child. And children have been raised in community situations where they can mingle around the village and be supported and looked after and understood by quite an extended group of people. That's kind of a feminine model. While the guy goes off and hunts and fish, or that's a model, that's an archetype. So let's talk about doing, let's not talk about it right now, let's do our meditation together with a sense of being vibrational community. The shift is truly our ability to raise our fields and frequency and literally imbue the collective with a higher level of consciousness, of empathy, of kindness, of the win-win reality, of building in the middle of broken systems, building new systems that are generous and work in cahoots with nature and with the earth and with the universe and with the atmosphere and all of that and one another, no matter what race you're in or who you're racing. So let's start off with our sacred geometric meditation. Then I really want you to call in and talk about what issues you're dealing with and whether you feel maybe limited because of your feminine programming or free because of your feminine programming. What's going on in your world and how does it look? All right. This is maybe an emancipating thing. And what I'd really like is to be able to do is to kind of lift our ability to perceive our feminine power a lot differently and to really perceive the power of being generous, of being heart-based, of caring for one another, the power of nurturing, of babies, of pregnancies. Oh, goody, you're calling before the meditation. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Veronica.
Hi.
It's Kim from Louisiana.
Hey, Kim from Louisiana. That's a nice feminine name, Louisiana.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It is, indeed. How you doing, kiddo?
Yeah, hanging in, thanks.
Good. How are you feeling about the feminine?
Yeah, interesting.
Isn't it? Do you see it changing?
Yeah. I've got several things to say about it, but the first thing I want to say is I was listening recently tonight to another thing, and somebody made a comment that the, whether I believe it or not, I don't know, that London is like this, London, England, is like this stargate for the goddess. And that all this opening ceremony attention on the games and, you know, how many billions of people are going to tune into it on the radio, whatever, or vibe, energy, whatever. And then it's really like this big feminine rising opportunity, which I think is really kind of interesting.
It is a wonderfully interesting concept. I'm not sure that I'm one of those intuitives that's a little reluctant to jump into those things, which are fairly ecstatic and pleasant, I must say.
Yeah.
But and it could be true.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's what they were remarking on. They were saying that a lot of people have learned to harness that energy, that positive energy, the come together kind of positive energy, like around sports activities and stuff, and to harness that energy in a positive way to send healing energy back to Mother Earth, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, I thought, okay, pretty neat. Yeah,
I really believe that that's very, very possible. So let's just hold that it's so.
Yeah.
You know,
and so then they went on to say that in England, in London, tomorrow it's going to be tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Pacific it would be noon, but it's 3 o'clock Eastern, and then NBC will rerun it at 7:30. But it's gonna last for at least, I think they said, at least 6 hours. And they expect maybe a third of the world's population to watch at least part of the opening ceremonies tomorrow.
Hmm.
And so a third of the population, like that's what, 2 or 3 billion people.
That would be really wonderful.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, are you
going to
watch it?
Well, unfortunately, Veronica, I might do some listening in the car. I might find myself in a road trip tomorrow, so we'll see. I have to kind of wait and see. I'm hoping.
Well, here's something I want to remind everybody, Kim, is that you can be present. There is no time and space, and you can actually enter and be present vibrationally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we could just tune in that way. I wouldn't mind doing that. I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah.
It's not just an idea, it's a possibility, right?
Yeah.
But thank you for
that.
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm still waiting to grab my own kind of brass ring, but Veronica, it's interesting to me about my own journey. On the outside, you might be able to say that I'm like a very successful woman and, you know, but I'm kind of in many, many ways I'm a struggling single mom. And, you know, my son lost half of his family, you know, when he disclosed to me that his dad was molesting him. So his whole dad's family, you know, still totally alienated, not part of his life. And I live 1,000 miles away from my family, so I'm pretty much dependent upon whatever kind of services I can kind of come up with. Now, I'm very educated and I have a very good job, but it's interesting to me that what I'm reaching for is on the outside. Someone might look for it and say, you know, that's very traditional, kind of a, you know, a Cinderella story, whatever, whatever, that, you know, oh, how lucky is she, how, you know, whatever. But in reality, psychologically and spiritually, what I'm reaching for is really risky for me. I mean, I do intend to, you know, I do intend to get back out there. I do intend to date again. I do intend to have a primary relationship. And even though I was in one for almost 20 years, that was really bad, you know, most of the time. And so that seems to me kind of ironic, I think. You know, it's like on the outside, people look at it and say, well, that wasn't, that's not very risky. That's not very empowering. That's not very spiritual. Or lucky her, she's got the Cinderella story. But in reality, oh my gosh, Veronica, I know myself that it's going to be like this big growth thing. I mean, I'm going to have to trust, and I'm going to have to take risks, and I'm going to have to, you know, and I'm so excited about it, but of course it hasn't happened yet.
But tell me this, Kim, just to throw some stuff in, what was your dad like? Was he a trustworthy, reliable, Prince Charming?
My dad was a very wonderful man, and I've talked to you about him actually a couple times, very briefly, and you probably forgot. But
I probably have, just because I get through so many at a time.
Yeah, so many people, right, that's okay. But he, he was traditional. I mean, we moved 5 times in 1 year, okay? Mm-hmm. So, but it was, we were climbing, right? We were social climbing. So my dad had a PhD, and he had to move around to get the, you know, so we always moved up, right? But he was a workaholic, and so in the 70s, I mean, he testified in front of Congress and right before Watergate, but it was about nuclear regulatory. So, I mean, he had a really wonderful career. I'm really proud of him. You know, he really helped build the safety of the industry. However, my mom was a traditional stay-at-home mom, and my dad had a high-powered job, and he was, you know, long out. He worked for a think tank in Central Ohio, so long hours and lots of traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't around. My mom basically raised us, you know. And
was he warm when you did see him? Was he what I'm looking for?
Yeah,
is an archetype here. Was he a warm, faithful fellow?
Yeah, I think he was.
And a protector?
I think in some ways that he was. Yeah. But my mom could be, I mean, Veronica, my mom was a super bitch. I mean, my mom can still be a super bitch.
Really?
You know, like, she can smile and, you know, be pleasant, and all of a sudden throw a dagger into your back with a smile on her face.
Well, so that's the disempowered feminine getting even at some deeper level, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, and we see that right across the board with us girls, right?
Yeah.
I don't
and
mean
in
everybody,
my life,
I mean.
In my life, I had a lot of grandmothers. You know, I had grandmothers that were extremely angry, bitter old women who were looking at the younger generation and, what you know, the revolution of the 60s and the 70s, and they're saying, where's mine? Why didn't I have any? You know, and they just turned into this big, you know, into these angry, bitter old women. And
wow.
I think that they were looking at the younger generation saying, why didn't I get this? Why couldn't I have some of this freedom? You know, why didn't I have any choice? And so I think I had all this choice, but I don't know. I want to tell you this. There's a woman in recently, okay, maybe the most recent one. I'm really interested in Project Runway. So there's a lot of trash on TV, but I'm really interested in design and art and pictures and stuff. So that's, I even actually like America's Next Top Model because of all the photographs. Okay, so I'm interested in composition and stuff like that. So I read Marie Claire magazine occasionally, so I like to look at the pictures. And there was an essay by a woman who really got slammed writing about a problematic family raising. Like, you know, she was really ambivalent about being mother, and she wrote about that very candidly, and she got real slammed. And then she wrote this most recent book. She wrote about this her divorce, and it was devastating, and it was a destruction of the family and a destruction of the, you know, and she said she called the kids my kids, and she got real slammed about that too in the press already, and the book had just come out recently. And then she said bottom line to her, which I thought was kind of sad actually in some ways. The bottom line to her, she said the only way that marriage can work if there are kids involved is a traditional marriage. The woman stays at home, takes care of the kids, runs the social side of the husband's life, and the man goes out and makes money and then comes back. And I thought that was kind of sad, but maybe there was some bitterness on her part trying to live through this divorce and then trying to rebuild her life, you know. I mean, she said the thing about the motherhood parenting thing, the book was hopeful in the end because she had kind of grown through these ambivalent issues about being a mother, and then in the divorce, she said, you know, it's just ashes. I mean, your whole life is gone. And so I think she hadn't really even grown through the divorce, you know what I mean, in the article. And so I felt like it was sad, you know. And at the end, very end of the article, she said, the only way marriage is going to work, contemporary American marriage works today, is if it's traditional. And the woman understands her role is to take care of the kids and stay at home, and the man, his role is to be outside. And, you know, you look at my situation and you think, you know, in traditional, and now I'm kind of on a soapbox, right? The thing that's so sad, the thing that's so tragic about this whole thing is that my situation, Charlie was a stay-at-home dad. He was also a sexual molester, right? A pedophile. So
But you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. Obviously I didn't know that. But you look at it in hindsight and you say, well, you should never leave that child alone with the man, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should never have left that child alone with that man. If he hadn't been the sole, if he hadn't been the primary caregiver, then he wouldn't have molested as much or damaged as much, or, you know, I mean, which is really kind of sad, you know. And the same, unfortunately,
one of my bosses. But isn't necessarily true, honey. That isn't necessarily true either.
I know that, but I know that's kind of what people think, unfortunately, you know. And that's
well, because we're all wanting to box things so that we're safe. And I want to throw something up, and we'll have to wrap this up so other people can call. But there's a thing about this, is that the programming that you have about the feminine that came from your mother and the distance of the father, those things have a huge impact. And there's a vulnerability in you. You see what I'm saying? That comes from our training. And what I was wanting to talk about is that we, through the centuries, have gathered these deep subconscious kind of attitudes and fears. Your ladies, your grandparents who were bitter and so on and had not participated in the emancipation of women, as we called it, or the liberation of women. I mean, they were disempowered. They weren't just, you know, what we're trying to see now is how does the power rise? How does it move past all those incredible briar patches of reaction that are in all of us? They're in all of us.
Yeah, how do we transcend karma?
Yeah, how do we transcend social programming and collective programming? I mean, like what you're saying is people say, well, stay-at-home dad could be a pedophile. I'm going, well, those are ideas that run through the collective all the time, and they do come from some place, but they aren't the whole thing. And so we're talking about the rising of the divine feminine. We need that to also be in the men. We need the respect. Our government doesn't have any respect for nurturing, you know, governments through the years, not just this particular government. But our system doesn't bother with the nurturing qualities because our collective hasn't really established that that's really, really valuable, at least in our kind of society. And what's it going to take for this consciousness to rise and realize that as we nurture children and make them safe and so on, you have a much better future for the whole of humanity, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you, Veronica. I think I'm optimistic, ultimately, very, very optimistic. I think it's only going to take 51%. And I think whatever that means. And I think 51%, it's going to be like, yes, it's going to flip, you know. It's like 51%, it flips, and then, oh, yeah, it's a lot better. I really do believe that, and I, it's...
And also, I want to throw optimist. This in. And I want to throw this in, and I think it's, it goes in harmony with what you're saying, which is a lot of men I know have a terrific ability to nurture. And
yes.
that is getting much more credibility and much more respect than it used to, and that can't but help women as well. Right?
Yes,
so instead of following the old patriarchal model, whether you're male or female, we get to
right.
have the guys doing some of the nurturing and having compassion and empathy, and the women using that as a power issue instead of our competition. You know what I'm saying? It's, things got to switch around, but we need both sides, and that's what I think is emerging.
Yeah, I agree.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I haven't got any great examples, so maybe somebody will call in with a tremendous example.
I'm sorry for your issue.
Go ahead.
Did you get my emails?
No.
Yeah.
When did you send it?
I sent 4 or 5 emails in the past, and it was all about feminine rising. One was about Diana Rose and the gift, and the other one was about Jennifer Posada. And you didn't
maybe they were
them?
Really long because I had huge network problems for a while, and I was having a hard time tracking some of the stuff.
Okay, it was about 3 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks. You know what I'll do is I'll go back into my sent mail if I can find it, and I'll just resend everything.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
but we're all on the same page
feminine.
Here.
Hmm? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let's go for it. Let's don crinoline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your call, Kim. We'll keep each other apprised.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Veronica. Have a good night.
You too. Okay, let's all do our meditation together, and I hope you'll call in and talk about how you feel about the divine feminine rising. And I really feel that, oh, we have another caller. We'll do that instead of the meditation right now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Diane.
Hi, Diane. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Yeah.
So what do you think about the divine feminine?
So what it feels like to me is this, what I've been experiencing is like a stopping and opening and receiving and embracing, and it's like I've never really lived in this part of my life.
And a softening. You've gotten a lot of softening going through you, haven't you?
Yeah, there's been a lot of like self-forgiveness and awareness of kind of a pattern in my life, that an energy pattern of something happens and it triggers me to feel like I'm bad in some way, maybe not on a conscious level, but on a subconscious level. And then comes up like this fear and anxiety about being punished, and then, you know, something kind of traumatic or whatever follows. And I think that's just been, you know, running and running and running in my life. I kind of saw it the other morning. And so there's been this releasing in my solar plexus, and I've been doing like a lot of ho'oponopono and forgiveness, and just kind of being with myself, who I've been doing a lot of that, but this is like, this just feels very, very deep, and it feels really, really good.
So you could say it's rising in you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even though you're doing a lot of work for it, it's...
Really, it's like in the core of my being that I'm really getting connected.
So nice.
And balancing. Because, you know, so much of, you know, my whole life up to this point has been about survival and doing and, you know, being frantic
and work.
Yeah. And when that's the energy that you're putting out, then that's how life appears to be, that you have to live it. But since the beginning of the year, when I started stopping and doing my inspirational writing or my soul writing or whatever, and that's been a big part of it, because there was just a deeper and deeper connection that's happening. And it seems like all the parts of me are coming together.
That's wonderful. And you did mention, I think you said frantic, I think was the word you used, that a lot of people can't value the self-nurturing spaces when we're frantic, can we? And yet the world seems to run on frantic, eh?
No, and you can't really love and appreciate. If you can't love and appreciate yourself and all the parts of you, then you can't. You're rejecting people in life. You're rejecting, you know, life in itself. And after that latest Colorado thing, you know, I asked my guidance. I said, so what is the root of violence? And I instantly got back, it's rejecting life in that moment, you know, the not loving what is.
But I want to say this, that when you said rejecting life, I want to say, I think the interpretation of what life is a part of the rising feminine. Life is the generous nurturing. Life is the win-win.
Right.
So life as it's been portrayed is a dog. You got to haul it. You've got to be frantic. You've got to keep going. You've got to be better than. You've got to market, 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 right?
Right. Compete and compare and get ahead.
And maybe that's what's going to change. Maybe that word life is going to change in meaning for a lot of people or for the collective or for the popular. What do you think of that?
Hopefully. I don't know how it's all going to change, but I just, if you get caught up in watching it outside in the world, it feels can feel really hopeless.
Oh, yes.
So I just have to just stay really present with me and realize that I'm getting more compassionate, I'm getting more kind, I'm getting more loving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to reflect in my life and outside, you know.
And it is, isn't it, Diane? Yeah. Isn't it reflecting in your life quite well right now?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. I'm really experiencing, like, I can just, you know, see how unreceptive I was in life, as I was just putting out so much energy and not just stopping and receiving. And so, of course, you know, when it came to love, I was struggling. When it came to money, I was struggling. It just seemed like I was... Everything was a struggle and a frustration, and now it's just like the more that I stop and I calm down and I get centered, the calmer life is, the more nurturing it feels, and I really feel like the wealth of my being, of what is present, you know, here for me.
That's
like
great.
Compassion really is here. Mm-hmm. Life really does love me and support me.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Just,
good for you.
But
I think even though you're doing all the work, I think that the feminine is still on the rise. What I mean is I think it is coming through the fields and frequencies as well. Even though we've probably had the capacity to do the kind of things you're doing forever, you know, I still think there's
right.
a real gift coming through the universal frequencies and downloads.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just that I'm doing this.
No, but I mean, our capacity to do that is ancient, but I think it's being accelerated and amped up and expanded. And it's contagious, thank you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of an organic force.
Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Coming forward, you know, because everything has to go back into balance.
Yes, it has to. Yeah.
You know, it just has to. And it's been out of balance. And so this has, you know, in creation, life has to come back into balance.
Right. That we know. Well, thank you so much. That's wonderful. It was a wonderful call. And I'm so glad that you're feeling the peace and the beauty of self there and the love.
Yeah.
You're feeling
thank
loved,
you.
Aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Diane.
Okay.
All right. So Thanks. I really appreciate the calls, and I love to hear us all talking about how to tap the greater self-love, like Diane was talking about. Recognize, too, what's blocked it, and let those new flows come through. Woohoo! So let's call in above. Close your eyes. A couple of deep breaths. Call in above your head a golden ball, and below your spine another golden ball.